You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
We now head to the Progressive guest line and welcome in 1991 and 1997 Players Champion Steve Elkington. He won in 1991 by 12 shots. He won in 1991 shooting 12 under over four rounds to beat Fuzzy Zeller by one shot. And he won in 1997 shooting 16 under over four rounds to win by seven strokes over Scott Hoke. Steve, thank you for taking some time to join Charlie this morning.
Elkie.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Elkie. The great Cougar, right?
Cougars are running hot in the basketball, Charlie. We might take it all the way this year.
Oh, I love watching them. I mean, they really nice. But Steve, you know, it's TPC time and the Players Championship, and we know you've won it twice. Do you pay attention to it? Are you? What's going on in your life as far as watching golf?
Yeah, I like to watch it. I didn't get to see a ton of it yesterday. I watched a fair bit of it on Thursday, but you know, it's bunched up. I mean, I was interested to see Justin Thomas come back. As you know, he shot like 78 the first day, and then he's 11 under through 17, which is amazing yesterday. But you know, there's some interesting players up top. Minwoo Lee, I've been kind of waiting for him. Akshay Pattaya, he's good. I'm really interested in watching this kid, Alex Smalley. I don't know much about Alex Smalley, but I love the way this guy plays. He's only made one bogey in 36 holes. And, you know, this tournament is super bunched up. But there's going to be a lot of wind today. And I still think it'll be bunched up again tomorrow, Charlie. But it's going to be a much different course today.
Well, when you played it and you had control of the golf ball better than most, and as you say, your swing was the picture of the Steve Elkington is legendary, being the logo. Your swing, you know, we used to watch you work with Dick Harmon and your teacher from Australia. When you see a tournament like this that you won, do you miss the action?
I don't miss the action at all. You know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth now for action, but, you know, the course is the same. You know, one of the advantages, I think, one of the fun things about watching the Players Championship is, as a fan and as a player, is, you know, they've got to hit the same shots I had to, you know, and this is not a power course. Minwoo Lee looks to me like he's doing all the damage with like a 2-iron off the tee. He's hitting it like 300 yards off the tee. He could be, you know, having that much, you know, that much speed and that much distance with an iron, that could play well for him with the wind. And being Australian, he knows all about the wind. So, it's interesting to watch, Charlie. I mean, the ninth hole, you know, someone sent me a video yesterday. You know, I reached the ninth hole in 1997, and they still reached the hole now, of course, but, it's not a power course. You've got to be able to hit the fairways, and there's about 11 or 12 shots that you've got to sort of go across water and, you know, pin high as your friend. I mean, we saw guys blow up, you know, they're shooting 78, 79, you know, Ludwig missed a cut. I mean, you can get in trouble quick on this course, and that's going to happen today, but I do think there'll be a handful of guys up there around 11 under it by nightfall.
Yeah, so we really won't know what's going to happen until you start that backside. Will, what do you got for Elkie?
Well, Steve, you know, last time we had you on the show and you mentioned his name, you said Minwoo Lee is a player that we need to watch out for, and you know, he's now the 36-hole co-leader at the Players. I'm just curious how impressed you are by his progression over the last several years.
He's doing it. You know, he's a tour player. He's powerful. He's strong. Hasn't won yet. I mean, I look down that board. You know, you got Rory's there. Morikawa's right there. I don't like, you know, just one curving of the ball like Morikawa has. I don't see, in a big win, just having a fade shot, Charlie, is not that appealing to me. You've got to have the other one, too. I think guys down there at 5 under, I think Scheffler's still in it. You know, I'm looking down on my phone just a little bit here, but I don't Zalatoris. I don't think he can play that. He's a good striker. I don't think he can putt that good in the wind. It takes a bit of a mix to you've got to be able to move the, you know, you've got to be able to stand on some of these holes and hit the shots required. I mean, Scheffler talked about it in his press conference, and you know what? He just said exactly what I've been saying for years. If you can't do both ways, I don't think you can win it at the end.
I would have to agree with you with you know, watching the Justin Thomas play 18, and he went with a 3-wood. Would you have stood up there with your driver and just hit it down the middle?
There's a tree out there that's got a broken branch up top, and it's like 290 yards to run out on that tree. So when I walked onto that tee, if it was a 3-wood to stay short of that, or if it was a driver to stay short of that, that was kind of where I was going. And, you know, and that's kind of the way I played the course, to be honest. You know, every hole pretty much has a GPS tracking device of the way you should play it. And if you can do that, Pete Dye, of course, you know, he was the master at messing with your eyes when you stood on the tee. I mean, there's no more than 17 and 18, but you know, they put the tree back on number six, Charlie. That tree, as you know, always used to hang over the top, and
yep.
it was so Pete Dye, right? He always wanted you to have to do something. I don't think one guy's hit the tree, so it's not that big a deal, and the hole's still playing under par, so I don't know what these guys are freaking out about the tree.
It just messes with their mind.
Yeah.
But
so I think they put the tree in just so they can't drive the green, Charlie. It's 380 yards.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I got to ask you, and you've been, you know, you're from Australia. You came to the United States as a young man, and you went through college, and you were really a great college player at University of Houston. And now we got LIV Golf. Now, if number one, would you have gone with LIV?
Well, I don't know. You know, my wife and I, we talked about it when they were offering out these big contracts to go over, you know, towards the end of my, you know, maybe not the end of my career, but whatever. If someone was going to offer me $100 million to go play golf somewhere, and I'm a foreign player anyway, I might have had to consider it. That's number one. You know, it's kind of ruined the tournament, all these tournaments. I mean, this used to be legitimately the best field in the whole world, this one. But it's not now. I mean, I know Trevino was on a podcast this week saying, you know, well, let's just call it the fifth major. Well, you can't really call it the fifth major anymore. You used to be able to when I won it because you had that top 150 guys in it. But without Bryson, without Brooks, without Cam Smith, all these other guys, it's not. It's just not the best. It's not the best field.
Well, I'm not sure. The guys that went to the LIV, they're gone. They're out of here. And there's still there's still a lot of good players that tee it up on Thursday that make it an exciting. You know, there's enough good players to watch to satisfy your desire to see great golf shots, which you guys did at the height of pressure was. The shot into 17 harder than the drive on 18, or what was the hardest shot that you faced on that golf course?
17 for sure. I mean, I used to worry about 17, you know, early in my career. I used to worry about 17 when I was on about number 8. You know, I'm thinking about that shot if the wind was blowing around. And I made a deal with myself one time that I wasn't going to worry about 17 until I got to 17. Then I was going to let myself worry about it. But and then by the time you get to 17, it happens. You're on the tee and off you go, and you don't worry as much. So just trying to trick myself about 17. Today it could be blowing 25 miles an hour with gusts of 35 is what I'm reading, and it's blowing out of the south. So that's straight down wind on 17. So I don't know. I think straight down wind, 30 miles an hour, would be the scariest shot because you know, it's like a plane landing. You can't fly that ball way up in the green. So that makes that landing area very small on the front, Charlie. I'm saying they're going to have the pin upstairs left for sure. That's the only place they can put it. And you're going to be seeing these guys trying to hit a shot and land it into the face of that hill. And if it comes back, no problem. I'll take a 50-footer there. But we're going to see guys go in the water. And it's automatic double bogey straight away if you hit it in there, because if you go to the drop circle, you know, you can't realistically get it up top, so you're going to hit it 30 feet and take five. 18, you don't have to go for it, Charlie. You can lay it up to the right and play it somewhat conservatively. You don't have to drive it up there. But I never really was a big hooker of the ball, as you know.
Yep.
Worked the fade. So 18 wasn't as dramatic for me, worry-wise.
Well, one question I got to ask you, and you spent so many hours with Jackie Burke at Champions, and socially, you know, on the golf course, in the kitchen. Now that Jackie's is not with us, what was a couple of your favorite stories about Jackie Burke?
Well, you know, it's funny. One of our friends, John Paul Hebert, was here yesterday with his team from Las Vegas. They're getting ready for the All-American, I guess, over there at Redstone this week, and he was playing a match yesterday, and we were talking about Jackie, and you know, he just kept everything real. You know, if you came back off tour and you'd played well, he wasn't really that interested in that. And if you came back off tour and you played bad, he wasn't that interested in that either. I read something recently where you better listen when Jackie Burke's talked to you, because when he decided he was going to make a comment to you, it was going to have about three parts needle and about one part humor. Is that true?
Oh, I would say yes. He came at you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I remember when Crenshaw came over one time, and Crenshaw was into golf history and all that. And Jackie told, to give an example of that, Jackie would say, if you don't quit reading this, he said, you read all this golf history. He said, well, let me tell you something about your game. He said, your game is history. it was always three parts needle, one. And now let's get out here and show me that beautiful stroke you got. You know, he bounced back with that last bit at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a wonderful person, a great, great friend of yours. I really got to be not, because of Dick Harmon. You know, those guys were legends in their vocabulary with golf, you know, and you sit there and listen to Dick and Jackie go back and forth with what Claude used to bring. But anyways, golf is great because of them, and and we miss them dearly. So, well, go
the
ahead.
Live thing, Charlie. I don't think Jackie would have let me go to live. Do you?
No. Live? No. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Elkington, we got to take a quick break here, but we really appreciate your time and so many great answers there, and you're an unbelievable champion. Big fan of yours, and we look forward to talking to you very soon.
Who's your pick, Elk?
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.